How'd you do?
Great.
Those of you who tried a negative one, what did you notice? It's harder to deal with the negative.
Yes, it turned into a positive.
So yeah, it was actually
just finished positive.
I know, but it was like a negative thing.
And it has to. Well, think about that. Typically, the positive intention behind a negative behavior will eventually turn positive. You ask many people what committing suicide will do for them, and they'll say revenge, or people will miss me, I'll get out of my misery. But almost always what they're wanting is peace. Peace. That's what getting out of here would get for me, is peace.
What about riots?
Well, yeah, okay, what would be the positive intention?
Revolution.
To draw?
Acceptance.
Change. Yeah, that was a positive intention.
To draw attention, to get eventually, to feel in control of something that they feel out of control of, think about it. And eventually get to the place where we can make a change in something that is really negative. Yeah. To feel socially active. Okay, are you following that? I mean, as hard as it is to understand. And think about a child who throws temper tantrums. What's the intent behind that? It's almost always to get attention. They don't care if it's negative attention. It's attention, to feel like someone cares. Yeah. So with almost any outcome that you could have, whether you would consider it a positive one or a negative one, you will be able to get to a core intention that has positive connotations to it. My goal for having you do this is that you practice your backtrack and then ask a question. Backtrack and then ask a question that takes it deeper. Backtrack, then ask a question that takes it deeper. Because that is precisely all you really need to focus on to deal with conflict. If you do too much else, you'll get off in la-la land and content land. Mo.
Random question. Could it ever not be, not in a positive, like say for instance in a case where someone is mentally ill or whatever, like a serial killer or something like that, and you're like, well, what is killing people doing for you, you know what I mean? Like, would...
So I have a story. Okay. All of you step back to neutral, please, for this. And some of you may remember Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer was a man who killed the little boys and put them in his refrigerator. Cut them up and put them in his refrigerator and kept them there. And I actually had a client who knew Jeffrey Dahmer and had worked with him. This client was a psychiatrist. It was just amazing story. But at any rate, I remember one of my students, a woman who had really struggled with her weight much of her life. And she really hated the part of her that kept her heavy, that kept her weighing more than she wanted to weigh. And she said, all my life I've been struggling with it, trying to get rid of that part of me, hating what it did for me. And she said, I had a transformation because I was watching an interview with Jeffrey Dahmer on TV. This was long after he was sentenced, tried, had been in prison for a number of years. Somebody came back and did an interview with him and said, why did you do it? And his response was, it was my attempt to keep people close to me. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. But think about it. This guy was such a loner. He'd been in the military. Such a weird guy. He didn't know how else to get people close to him. It was his only way. And she said, I heard that. And she said, I swear to God, my head turned around three times and my smoke blew out my ears. And I thought, if he could have a part that had an intent like that, how could I be so hard on my part that has kept me heavy all these years? And you know, she started losing weight. It was amazing. Just hearing that in that interview, that, oh man, this is a guy I would have thought there was nothing that could have had, I mean, there could have been no positive intent in that. And when she heard those words, it just transformed the way she was thinking about her own part that she had hated so hideously all those years. She said, I don't have any parts like that. And I need to love and appreciate my part and let it know I want it close to me without doing something weird that way. So I just think that, I mean, I'm sorry to bring up anything quite that heinous, but it's a great example of how you could have it with serial killer. I mean, he was. He killed a lot of the little boys.
Isn't that a presupposition?
What?
Oh,
whenever we utter a gross generalization, like I'm saying, there must always be something positive there, you'll find an exception to the rule. You know it's always a lie, Aaron. Yeah, because there will be exceptions to that rule, for sure. But what way is useful for you to be thinking about it? That's the way we like to look at it. Is it useful for you to think that your parts do have positive intentions for you, and there must be something, if you can discover it, that would be positive about whatever behavior somebody is doing, no matter what? And I know it's really hard to see sometimes. Yeah.
If you take on that presupposition, it does not mean that you then have to excuse dysfunctional
or tasteless behavior.
No. It just means that
you can feel empathy for somebody.
Exactly. And if you take on that presupposition, you will be a lot more empathetic with people in general in the world and with yourself. But it doesn't mean that it's okay to do bad things. It just means that underneath all that is a positive intent.
Yeah, I hope I wasn't implying that it's okay to do bad things. Yeah. Yeah. So we use this because when we have a conflict, this is what's going on. It's either this or that. Either I do this or I do that. And there's a push-pull. And since we talked about incongruence earlier, it's where you're arguing with yourself. And you may or may not even be consciously aware that you're having this conflict going on. Our goal is to take the either or and make it a both and. So I can have both this and that and find a way to live in peace and harmony. When we're talking about doing this with ourselves, again, it's based on that premise. We're not going to banish any one part of us. It's been there. It's given us something positive, or we wouldn't have continued doing whatever we were doing with the behavior. And now what we're going for is, instead of being pulled, either I'm this way or that way, either I do take the job, in this case, or start my own business. Instead of either or, it's, well, how about if I combine the best of both and figure out how, and that's why I was saying, to have my cake and eat it at the same time. For me, the way I think about conflict integration, it's getting all your eggs in one basket. So they're not separate and hidden in various parts, but that they're all there together, and everything that you would get out of them that is resourceful, you have access to. You don't have to leave anything behind, if that makes sense. So that's our goal with integration is, first of all, what we're going to do is make sure we understand the either and the or and what the intentions are of the part that wants this. What are the intentions of the part that wants this? What are the advantages of each? What are the resources of each? And then how can we get them to come together to create a new part for us that has the best of both so that we have everything that we want as we move ahead? It's not that we get to understanding or that they can coexist pleasantly with each other. It's the goal is to integrate them so that nothing is lost.